Well, you might have noticed that in your bulletin there's not a place for the sermon today. That's by design. One of my favorite things about being a friend, being a Quaker, is that we have this thing called open worship, that we share what God has been doing in our lives and hope that it brings Him glory and hope that it ministers to the hearts of those around us. And so this morning I just wanted to share with you some of the things that God has been speaking into my life. And I think in order to get the best picture of that, I have to start at the beginning, which was, I'm not really good with dates. When I remember things, that they just kind of all jumble together. But I would say it was 13 or 14 years ago that I first walked into a friend's church. That was because I met that woman sitting right over there, and her dad is a friend's pastor, and I wanted to date her. So I went to her dad's church, and the Lord got a hold of me. And I do remember 2005. That was the year that I was asked to counsel at my first camp. I'd never been to church camp growing up. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and we didn't do things like camp. And so that was a unique experience for me. And as the speaker spoke that week about, the theme was spiritual dynamite, which is, it was based off of Napoleon Dynamite, if you remember that horrible movie. And I actually played Pedro that year in a lot of the skits, because I'm brown. But the cool thing that God did in my life during that piece of history with Him was I really felt Him speak clearly to me for the first time. And that's when I really realized my call to ministry as a vocation. We're all called to ministry as Christians. We all have something that we can contribute to the body of Christ. But God was calling me out specifically to give my life to the church for ministry. And so it was an interesting time. We already had Siler from my previous marriage, and Chasley was already there with us. And so I called Jenna Lee from camp, and I said, I think I'm supposed to go to school. And she said, all right. So I told the recruiters from Barclay College there that I was, let me have a year to get things in order, and then next fall 2006, I'll enroll. And they were supportive of that, gave me what they called a Christian Leadership Scholarship. Back then, they didn't have free tuition at Barclay College, and so this was kind of a big deal. And I went home from camp, and Jenna Lee saw how excited I was, and she'd been kind of getting spoken to by God as well, and I don't remember which one of us said it, but we came to the conclusion that if we waited, it wouldn't happen. And so actually what we ended up doing is we quit our jobs that summer, and we moved to Haviland, Kansas, and I started my ministry education at Barclay College. And the 4 years there was an incredible, incredible time. I grew supernaturally, you know. I've had people tell me, I've never seen anybody grow in that short amount of time, and it's because God's preparing you for something. He wants you to start doing what He's calling you to now. And so those 4 years were not easy. They were rough. We sometimes didn't know where our next meal was going to come from. There were more than once we didn't know where we were going to live. When we first went to college, we didn't have a house, and all of a sudden, at the last minute, God provided a house, and then 2 years later, that house got sold. We were renting it, and the landlord said, I meant to tell you, you got to be out in 30 days. Oh, okay. But God provided the next place for us, and every step of the way, we had these amazing things that God put into our lives. And then 4 years later, I graduated, which is a miracle in itself, because those of you that are familiar with Barclay College know people don't usually graduate from there in 4 years. It's just this weird thing where they stay for 5 and 6 and 7 and 10 years even. They're not called doctors either. I don't know. And so then God saw fit to call us out of Barclay College and into Iowa. A lot of you guys know a man by the name of Kevin Mortimer. He was pastoring at Middle River Friends Church, and he came to Barclay College and asked, we need a youth pastor. And he asked a lot of the leaders in the school and in the yearly meeting, who do you got? Who's the best? And by nothing that I did, they brought my name because of what God was doing in my life at that time. And so I got to have dinner with Kevin Mortimer, and Jenna Lee was with us, and we were able to start a friendship with him, and through praying and processing, moved to Carlisle, Iowa. Who knew where that was? I remember, actually, when we came out for our visit in January, it was snowing horribly. And that was the first time I felt my nostrils freeze as I inhaled the cold Iowa air. We got lost. We got here at like 11 o'clock at night. It was just a bad deal. But that visit was great. And then it would have been January of 2011. So the dates are getting better the more recent they are. Two members of ministry and council at Middle River asked me to go to lunch with them. And I said, all right. I thought I was in trouble. And they sat me down and they said, well, you've been in all of our monthly meetings and you know our finances. I said, yeah. And they said, we can't afford to pay two full-time staff and we need our pastor. Fair enough. So they informed me that by June of that year, I think they gave me till August actually, that I was going to be no longer on staff at Middle River Friends Church. So that was a little scary. And so we called Ron Bryan and he said, I got this small country church, if you're interested. Nope, not interested in that. And I actually applied for a lot of other churches in and out of Iowa, and nothing felt right. We were on vacation with some friends of ours that summer, and me and the other guy had a trip to Walmart. We were going to buy supplies for being out on the lake that afternoon. And he was just talking to me and asking me how things were going and just said a little prayer with me as we were heading into Walmart. And at that moment, I felt God's peace about coming to this church. And I called Ron Bryan before we even got back to the condo that we had rented for the week. And I said, go ahead and send him my resume. And we came out for our visit. And I was sold. Jenilee wasn't still. She actually cried quite a bit when I accepted the position here. But in August of 2011, we came here, and it's almost been 4 years. Can you believe that it's almost been 4 years? I cannot. But through those 4 years, I feel like I have become a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better pastor, just a better disciple of Jesus, having done life with you wonderful people, which is why my heart is so heavy this morning as I announce my resignation to you. God has been doing a new work in our lives. And up until this point, as you can tell by the story, we've been blessed by saying yes to God. And so we feel like at this venture, at this crossroads of our life, we have to say yes to God again. And so God has been doing a work in our lives and in the lives of a church in Wichita, Kansas. He saw fit to cross our paths. He saw fit to bless the journey that we've taken with them in searching out whether or not we were the next pastor for them and they were the next church for us. And through many, many prayers and many, many tears and many, many conversations with mentors that I trust and people that I love dearly, we feel like this is what God is calling us to. And we feel that the reason that we've been so blessed in our ministry to this church and to the other churches that we've been part of is because we've said yes when God called. And so we feel like we have no other choice but to say yes again. I hope that you don't feel that we're leaving you, because that's not what we're doing. We're following God. And those are two very different things. My last Sunday will be June 21st, so we've got lots of time left together. My last day as your pastor will be June 25th, and so I want to hang out for the rest of that week after that Sunday to just continue to be with you as long as I can. Originally, my desire was that this doesn't change anything, but really it does. It does change things. But it can change things for the better. This is one of those times where the word crisis certainly applies. And the definition of that word crisis is dangerous opportunity. And so we have a dangerous opportunity right now. We have a choice to make. We can continue to move forward in our sorrow and let that debilitate us, or we can celebrate the fact that God continues to move. He's moving in our lives, and he's moving in the life of this church, and he has new things in store for both of us. And so I want to commit to you that over the next 4 months, I will do everything that I can to make sure that you are prepared for the next step that God has for you. And I would ask your prayers for our family as we do the same in our lives. So the reason that I'm not preaching today is because I don't know if I could have. This has been a very emotional journey for us that's been over the course of about 6 months. And to be completely honest with you, we told them no a couple of times before we finally said, let's see. This is not something we sought. This is not something we were looking for. This is something that God placed in our lives. But we want you to know that we love you very much. That when we came to this church 4 years ago, we didn't expect to fall in love as deeply as we have with you. We are better people because we were able to do life with you, and we hope that some of you can say the same about us. I want you to know that up until this point, I have given you everything that I can, and I will continue to do that until we leave. Originally, I was going to come up here and just read my resignation letter, but I wanted to share my heart with you. I wanted to share the why versus the what. And the why really is just to say yes to God. And I do have copies of my letter if you'd like to have those. I think I have enough for every family to have one. If not, let me know and I can make more. But I'll just have those available to you after the service. But it's been a very trying time for us. And I don't think it's going to get easier. But I think it can be good if we let it be good. So that's what I have to share. As I shared this with ministry and council last week, we decided that this would just be a time for us to move into open worship, and you can respond however you feel God leading you to respond. I would just ask that we make this not about Manny and his family and about God and what he's doing. So let's spend some time in God's presence. Allow him to minister to our hearts, to let him help us absorb what's happening. And give him all the glory and honor.
Some of us felt that we should come up from Children's Church for a little while. And so we did that, and I just asked them if there was anything, any prayer concerns that the children have. And I have two that they wanted me to share. One is Avery would like prayers for her Uncle Rudy because he has some opportunities like Manny that are available to him. And she... And that some of that opportunity may bring him closer. And so if you'd be in prayer for Rudy Evertson as he is searching out maybe a different job. And then Elena asks that you also pray for her as her family will be looking for a new home. So we just ask that you be in prayer for both those young ladies' things that they're thinking about.
having known about Manny and Jenilee's opportunity for a while has been, it's been sad. I mean, family leaving is always sad, but also exciting, and I've been excited for them, but just this week, knowing that this day was coming, I have really been able to put it all on God. And one of the things that he shared with me was that we have, just in my mind, have been able to process more and more the need for the thing that we've been talking so much about in the last year and 6 months, and that's discipleship. Following, having Manny as our leader here, and like he said, they've grown, I know I've grown so much having them in our lives and having them here. But I think that if this time wouldn't have come, I would have been more okay to sit back for a little bit longer and grow a little bit more and listen a little bit longer instead of taking this opportunity to get up and go. I mean, now they're moving on and moving to a better place and saying yes to God, and I really think that this is a call for us to all do this as well in our relationships with each other and in discipling with each other, that we don't need to just sit and listen anymore and grow. God is preparing us as we move, and being disciples for him can start and can happen right here in our church family.
Most of you know that Tom and I are double churched, I guess you would say. Some Sundays we're Baptists, some Sundays we're Quakers, and here we are. But I want to go back to the Baptist side of our story, and of my story anyway. And about 5 years ago, our pastor resigned about this time of the year, and we were, it just made sense to us to, I won't say we were led, but it made sense to us to choose this other guy that was coming along to be our pastor. That was just not a good plan. It was not God's plan, I don't think, unless it was for God to smack us upside the head and say this was not the right thing to do. But anyway, he didn't stay too long, and then we had two guys that alternated Sundays, and that was so comfortable for us. They had both been former pastors, and it was really comfortable, and we became a little bit complacent, I think, until it just came to the place where we needed to do something. Those guys couldn't do that forever, although we wished they could, but it just was a, you know, sit back and enjoy the time of ministry. And so we thought, well, we're going to do this plan, and that didn't work out too well. So, okay, we're going to do plan B instead. And I'm not sure that any of that was what God had planned. I think he was just sitting back and saying, just let them go. They'll figure it out eventually. And a couple of different places, we heard the same words. Your church needs to get down on their knees and pray. And it wasn't until we did that, you know, we heard those words and said, oh, come on. We've been here for 140 years, and we know what we're doing. We can do this. We don't need to pray. But we did. And it did take getting down on our knees and praying and accepting a pastor in our midst that was totally, I want to say, 100% totally different than what we thought we were going to look for. But he's been such a blessing. And I would just say to you, don't get complacent with whatever comes up. Just get on your knees first. Avoid the Center Street Baptist crunch that went on, Center Street Baptist maneuver, I guess. I guess this is a really good time to say you're blessed to be Quakers. I don't know what brought me to say that, but the Lord, yeah. But just stay on your knees and pray about the whole situation, and God will direct.
We have been truly blessed to have Manny and his family here ministering to us and with us, guiding us. And it is always hard to say goodbye, but it is not permanent, and we know that. And just as Jesus had to say those parting words to his disciples, it was so that he could return and live within each one of us. And though we look to a pastor as our guide, our mentor, our shepherd, our true guide and leader and shepherd is Jesus Christ. And so we will look to him as we go forward now. We will share our sadness with him, and he will hold us up, and he will walk with us, and he will guide us into the next step. For the church is one body. We are all one, and it matters not our geographical location. We are a part of one another always. And we support one another and uplift one another. And right now, we truly will pray for his leadership and his guidance as we look forward.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. All of you sing that with me, please. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
feel like right now there's a lot of heavy hearts here, and that's with good reason. But I'm just right now filled with this overwhelming joy that we've gotten to spend this time we have with Manny and Jenna Lee and their family, joy that we get to see them say yes to God, and then joy that we, in turn, get to practice saying yes to God as well. I think the Lord brought to me to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And so I'm just happy that we get to live that out. You know, Manny and Jenna Lee are presenting themselves, sacrificing the comfort and the love that they have here to go and spread the word elsewhere. And we get to witness that, and we get to be a witness to that. And then, you know, we get to discern God's will. And that's, during this time, it's just going to be a time where we can grow closer to God because we're spending time with him, learning what he wants. And so we'll only grow closer to God through this experience. And so I'm joyful for that.
I know Manny said that he's gone through quite a few changes since he's been here. And he has. We've all seen it. We all know it. He's changed us too. The thing I appreciate the most, and I will have days to say all this to him, but his truth, his honest, hurtful, loving truth is a blessing that I take the most. And I challenge each and every one of us here until the end of June to hear that truth as much as possible. Be a family as much as possible. Monday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Sunday, whatever day it is. This church is on fire from the love that he's given us through the Lord. And we need to keep that, pursue that, grow in it, be there for each other, be there for his family, and just challenge each other. Continue, keep growing. Don't let his legacy that he's built here go away. Keep that fire burning. So again, I challenge each and every one of us to make sure we can do everything we can to keep growing, keep loving, and keep our walk with the Lord.
I think one of the most beautiful things about the body of Christ is that it is a single body. And even though it may be separated, as we may soon be separated, in miles, they are still one body. And as the Garcias prepare to move, they're going to leave behind themselves a little bit of what they've shared with us and the way they've impacted us. And they will take with us a little bit of us with them, the way that we've helped them and cherished them. And I think we have to realize that though there are maybe miles separating us, we are still part of a single body. We're still part of a relationship that just because a few miles separate us does not end. And we can still support them. We can still love them. And the most wonderful thing about electronic age, we can still communicate easily with them, even in that distant land of Kansas. I just think that we have to remember that so often when we look at things like this, we see it as an ending. But I think so much of the time it's just another page in a book, that it's a part of life, it's a part of change, and that it will make us all better in the end.
I think the question, are all hearts clear, seems a little weird right now, but at the same time, you know, I've been preparing to share this with you for many weeks now, and I wasn't sure what the spirit would be like in the room, but I think this is one of those times where I can say that the peace that surpasses all understanding just fits. You know, in my mind, this went 100 different ways. But I think joy, the word that Emma shared, celebration. Of course there's sadness. Of course there's heaviness of heart. And there always is when it comes time to part ways. But I think that the peace that we feel is a product of affirmation from God, that we know that this is what he's calling us to. If it wasn't, I don't think that peace would be present right now. I think that there would be just a heavy spirit in the room, but there's not. I don't feel that. I feel just an acceptance and a peace moving forward. As we close today, I just wanted to share some words that I shared with someone earlier this week. This is the first time in my life that I've been a pastor. This is my first church as a pastor. And I didn't know how hard it was. This is more than a job. It's a vocation. It's a calling. And at the same time, it is a job. And I think about it being almost a laboring job where, you know, if I were a carpenter, the product of my work would be the woodwork that I do. If I were an electrician, you know, Lauren can go on a site and see the work that he's done. And as I stand here as a pastor, I can look and see the product of being obedient to God. And all of the testimonies that you've shared today and before today about your growth, that has nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with continually saying yes to God. Because I could stand up here and be the most eloquent speaker in the world, but if you're not willing to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, no growth happens. And so I want to give praise where praise is due, and that's to God. And I want to continue to do that over the next 4 months. It's only February. We have until June. God will continue to move in our midst, and we'll continue to respond. And I'm excited to see what God does in the next 4 months, and I'm excited to continue to see what he does in our lives and in your lives in the future. I knew this would be a sad day, but we don't have to have any more sad days until June. So let's celebrate what God's doing. Let's continue to be obedient to God and to the call that he has for each one of us. And let's keep moving forward. I'd like to pray with and for you as we prepare to close, and then John's going to come up and close us with a song. God, you never said that following you would be easy. As a matter of fact, you tell us the exact opposite, that it costs us something, that your grace is free, but it's not cheap. And Lord, I don't know that I've ever experienced the truth of that statement more than I have over these last few months. But Lord, I thank you that you've been preparing us and that you will continue to prepare us for all that you call us to. Lord, I'm so thankful for these 4 years that you've blessed us to spend with these wonderful people. And I pray, Lord, that the next 4 months will be as rich and as impactful as the last 4 years have. And that we would see fruit beyond our imagination for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, I pray for the preparations that this body will be making for their future. Lord, I pray for that person that you've already selected to be the next spiritual leader in this community. Lord, I pray that you're speaking into their lives even now, that you're preparing them to say yes to you. And Lord, I pray that as steps are taken to begin that process, that just as you've done in our lives, you'll do in the lives of this church and of the person you're calling, that you will cross their paths in an undoubtable way, and that both sides will just have a peace, that they'll know that this is from God. Lord, thank you for changing me, for never giving up on me, for allowing me to be an instrument in your hands. Continue to submit myself to you. I pray that everyone here would continue to do the same as we seek your will above all else. It's in Jesus' name that we give thanks and we pray. Amen.